Well, hello there. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Freeform Tufts Radio. Bex isn't here. Nev isn't here. Just me. You're listening to Fast and Loose. It's just this. And, here we go. I had to click through to know what poem I was going to start the day off with. So thanks for being here. Also, happy Thanksgiving week. This is the best holiday. We're going to talk about this. Everybody is coming. They're just not here yet. All right. This is from Lynn Pedersen. It's called A Brief History of the Passenger Pigeon. Not to be confused with messenger pigeons, birds sent behind enemy lines in war, but think passengers as in birds carrying suitcases, starting a berth on a train, or traveling in bamboo cages on a ship, always migrating on a one-way to extinction. How would extinction look on a graph? A steady climb or a plateau, then a precipitous cliff at the dawn of humans? Nesting grounds 800 square miles in area, skies swollen with darkening multitudes, days and days of unbroken flocks passing over. Ectopsis mirigatus. And the last of the species, Martha, named for Martha Washington, dies in a cage in 1914 at the Cincinnati Zoo. Forget clemency. We are the worst kind of predator. Not even deliberate in our destruction. Our killing happens a la carte, on the side. Side of Dodo. And because the 19th century did not enlist a battlefield artist for extinctions, there are no official witnesses to the slaughter. Just participants. If you could somehow travel back to this scene through the would-be canvas, you would run flailing your arms toward the hardwood forests and the men with sticks and guns and boiling sulfur pots to bring birds out of the trees, as if you could deliver 50,000 individual warnings, or throw yourself prostrate on the ground as if your one body could hold sway. That was A Brief History of the Passenger Pigeon by Lynn Pedersen. I hope you stick around for the rest of the show. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going? It's me, Neville. In case you don't recognize my voice, because I'm like really sick.
I mean, death comes for us all, you know?
It does. And if I see it coming. Yeah. I've been having a lot of headaches, and I'm like convincing myself I have a brain tumor. So.
There you go. How's that going?
My brain tumor?
Yeah. How's the convincing going?
I mean, it's been pretty easy.
Are you doing some Googling?
No Googling.
Yeah.
It's just like in my head. I don't need facts to back it up. It's just like a feeling where I'm like, nobody knows my body better than me, right?
Yeah.
I know. So,
I mean,
I
don't.
Know.
Yeah, no. I'm kind of one of those like.
I think the body
is a black box of
nonsense.
I
absolutely think it's so whack that it's our own body and our brain has no idea what's wrong with it when there's something wrong. Isn't that whack?
I think it's whack.
Shouldn't we just know?
I think it's whack. I do think it's a product of the Enlightenment that we think that we could like get in there and be like, you know what? Self-knowledge of our own self will also heal ourselves. I think before the Enlightenment, it was just like, man, my like stomach hurts. And it's like, well, could be anything.
It'd be the devil.
It could be death. It could be the devil. It could be the gods at work.
Yeah.
It could be.
Could be that coffee you drink.
Yeah. It could be like the fact that like we mostly eat cornmeal.
Yeah.
As like our diet.
Yeah. I don't just eat cornmeal.
Well, they did.
Yeah, I don't though. I mean, just. That was just a
You should try to think about that. You should think. The cornmeal diet is in. Very paleo.
You had a question to ask me.
Yeah, I did. We were talking about, you know, big theme on the show today is going to be conflict resolution. We are going to get to the subjects.
Oh, wow.
But I was conflict talking resolution. And I was having a really insightful conversation with my wife. Shout out Molly, who's, you know, definitely got this pumping at the wound center.
Yeah.
This is like just what people need.
Yeah, definitely when I asked her on Sunday if she listened to the show, it sounded like she was like really convincing that she like puts it on every week.
My husband's done this for 8 years.
Every week I tune in.
Fewer than 10 episodes total. And that's just kind of, that's not like a, I don't support you. It's more just like, I think we're both at this place with like the things we create where we just sort of make them. Mm-hmm. And that like we're almost too in on each other's deal to like, comment on the art.
She probably gets to hear you talk quite a bit too, you know.
Like, also, yeah, I think that's the thing is she's like, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to listen to your show.
And you know what? During the day I get a break. So
exactly. I talk to other people.
I don't need to tune in because I'm sure I'll hear about it later regardless.
That's right.
So you were talking to Molly.
Talking to Molly and I asked this question. I said, so in conflict resolution, how do you prevent yourself from feeling like you're losing something, you know, that you're like, that if you, you know, okay, something happens between you and another person, they feel like wronged by you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously you don't think that you wronged them, mm-hmm. you know, like your side of the story is like, no, I did everything right. And like, 'cause that's how it goes. You know, you never think that, I mean, sometimes I'm here to admit mistakes when I can.
Yeah.
But there's times where I'm just like, no, I don't think that was wrong. And how do you sort of like resolve the conflict when you don't want to sort of relent that Ooh. Feeling because you don't want it to be like used against you or like sort of be like, well, you know, this one time you did this thing that was bad, so therefore this next time is bad. You know, like as fodder for sort of the next thing or whatever, you know, or like a stain on your reputation. How do you like, how do you resolve that thing?
It's a great question.
Because I'm not perfect. Like when I wrong people, I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Like when I make mistakes, I don't know if you could vouch for me, but that it's like, I'll like, oh no, I, that was, oh yeah, it was a totally selfish thing that I just did. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, one quote that I really like.
Oh, here we go. Is it from Molly?
Yeah.
Great.
No. That about conflict resolution is you tackle the problem, not the person.
Mm.
And I think one thing that I found very helpful in conflict resolution is the concept of creating a, quote, third story.
Mm.
So it's actually you and the other person drafting a neutral version of the story that happened.
Mm.
And so this is facts. This is not about, oh, I feel this way or I feel this way.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
We are going to go over the facts of the situation so that we have almost like a third position in here. So we have my feelings, we have your feelings, and then we have the story.
Mm.
And I think that can be really helpful for both people to
That's
be able
actually
to get
good.
Some perspective on, okay, not even just what exactly happened or how did you perceive that this happened, but also sometimes your feelings cloud the facts.
Yeah.
And sometimes when somebody is like, no, look, I have this video recording of you saying these exact words.
Yeah.
Then you're like, ooh, that's not how I remember it.
Yeah.
And so having a third, like literally it's like a third person, almost like a mediator. This third story becomes your mediator because it's a combined product that you can rely on for the actual story rather than the opinions.
Yeah.
And so I do think that that can be helpful in conflict resolution, mostly just taking away the personal aspect of it.
Mm.
Especially for me, somebody who, and I carry, and I'm sure you do too, you just carry conflict, even if it happened 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
You're thinking about it at 2 a.m. when you can't sleep.
And you're thinking about how it's like, oh, that person just got the wrong idea, or I just wanted to do this, or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes I try to hold on to the narrative too much.
Mm.
And I also do, I think I trust my memory a little bit too much.
Yeah, and you're holding on to the your truth, my truth thing.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't want to admit this thing because I don't want you to like have something on me. Or I don't want to like create a situation where you can sort of like, well, you did something wrong and I did something wrong. It's like, no, I mean, in this case, I don't think I did anything wrong. Or at least like I can defend what I did and I would do it again.
And I would do it again.
And it's like, okay, we can like chalk it up to, and it's because it's tough because it always seems like the conflict resolution has got to be, no, you just have to admit to the thing that you did and then carry it around like a mark. I don't know.
But sometimes you do. Sometimes you do have to own up.
Oh, no, totally. And I like, that's the thing is
so
I'm
what
like,
what are the situations that you like, I don't feel like I should own up to that. Like what, give me an example of a situation where you would be like,
yeah. I'll think of one with my family. So it's like a classic one is just like, this is an example of not wanting to own up to something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A classic one, and it still happens when we like all get together, is like who cleans up the kitchen, right? So like there's always in the morning, anytime my family gets together, I got a big family. And this is going to happen again. Also, shout out to anyone in my family listening right now, particularly my mom, probably.
Shout out.
That like, whenever there's a bunch of people together, it's always like this mad rush in the morning because we've got kids, we've got grandkids, we get this whole thing. And it's like, and what happens is eventually a bunch of the stuff in the kitchen just gets used, right?
Yep.
And, you know, nobody wants to clean up all of it.
Mm-mm.
But also, there's kind of this little underhanded thing. You're from a big family, too, where, like, I use the pan, but I know that you're going to use it, too.
Mm.
So, like, I'll just leave it dirty. You know, who knows who else is coming behind me for this next thing.
Right.
So, like, I'm going to leave it all. And so, it's one of those things where I remember this last argument I got into with my dad where he was, like, upset in general that, like, the house was dirty.
Mm.
And he was, like, yelling at me about it. And I was like, Dad, I've been cleaning up across the board here. Like, I'm doing this, you know, like, each of these things is done. However, you need to look at your other kids to see, like, why this pan is dirty or why this other thing is dirty. And he's like, oh, so you're just the one kid who's cleaning everything up? And I'm like, yes, you know? Like, I'm not going to sit here and admit to things that I'm, you know, to making this, you know.
So you definitely prioritize the correct story being out there rather than harmony.
I think so.
Mm, interesting.
I think that it's tough because like if I like relent, you know, because it's not a big, it's on the face of it, not a big deal.
It's not.
That yeah. I'm like, I'm part of the mess in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then that, if it comes up later, where it's like,
yeah,
someone didn't clean up the puzzle, and you're also the person, you know, and of course the puzzle's not cleaned up because of the kitchen, you know, and it's like this, it's like a ledger that you've carried with your life. There's no like benefit of the doubt. And I remember a lot of times growing up making this argument of like, you guys, like everything else in my life is like good. Like, why are you on my case about this thing that's like a misunderstanding when I like have like good grades and I'm not going out and doing anything, you know? And like, it's like you guys, like, there's nothing here, you know? Why are you building a case against me when there's like nothing here?
So you kind of wanted them to compare you to other people. You wanted them to compare you and be like, oh, well, compared to Susan across the street, Nate's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's dealing drugs.
Exactly.
Our son is like very, very, you know, very fifth place on the cross country team. And that's like good, you know, like that's, things could be way worse.
Interesting. I would definitely say in my family, it was very much striving, or at least maybe not in my family, but personally, it's definitely striving for harmony over establishing the correct story.
Mm.
And so you just,
is that because like you're better at forgiving each other?
Oh no.
Because I think
we're way better holding grudges against
each
other.
But that's the thing is like, but it's like when you make an accusation against somebody, then all of a sudden, like a classic thing that we'll do is just start bringing up the past. Mm. And it's like, you've got, you know, there's this situation, but then there's the five previous ones.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think that's something, I think that's something my parents do. I don't think that's something that we do.
The siblings, you're saying we the siblings.
Yes, we the siblings. Okay. We the siblings.
The union of siblings, which is
make
grown.
It sound like I'm 50.
No, I mean you're now, you know,
I have three.
Many of you are spoused
plus
at this
two.
Point, and you're like you're on your way.
Yeah,
so that's
we
the
are.
Union
We're
is growing. That's it your power is increasing.
Yeah,
there's
hey,
only ever just going to be two parents.
What's your opinion on AI babies?
I don't know what you're talking about. I know those two words individually. But it's like hamburger milkshake. I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you ever AI'd your babies?
Once again.
So,
have I ever lasered my foot? Like, I don't know what you're saying.
So there's an app where you can place pictures of like you and your spouse.
Okay.
To see what your children would look like.
Oh yeah, that's like Snapchat filters and stuff, right?
There. No, there was, but it's like
this is like we're using GPT like, now to do it.
This is like legit. Here, wait. As we talk, I'm gonna pull up.
Nev's asking this question because she's done it. That's
obviously.
What's going on.
No,
yeah.
But this is so fun. And so actually, what I want to do is I would like to. This sounds terrible. I don't even know. It's like this is like doesn't sound appropriate. I'm like, I would like to AI your babies is what I would like to do.
Okay. Oh, like me and Molly and just see like what it is.
Yeah.
I in generally have a policy against pictures on the internet.
Of you?
Well, okay, fine.
They're
What
surprise,
is to be,
surprise,
what
they
is,
actually cannot identify your real children.
Great.
So it's
what,
never
what's
your real
what's to be
children.
Done with these students? Yeah, you give these pictures to this app. And then what's going to happen with the pictures?
They sit on my phone and I stare at them.
No, but the app has them.
Sure.
So like creep who made this app has now got pictures of me and Molly. And God knows what he's doing with those.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably just like, man, these two, I couldn't find these pictures any other way.
The internet is still something. Wow. Oh my God. Some of those just look like young versions of you.
Wait. But some of them look like, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like
the eyebrows.
This little boy
have persisted.
This little boy.
Yeah, that's
cute.
Pretty good. That's not bad.
He's a cutie.
That's not bad.
He's a cutie. But I AI'd quite a few people in my life, as you can see.
I don't know.
I AI'd my parents.
So what you need to do, it's two pictures. You need two pictures and then you do that.
I actually need eight.
Oh, yeah. Language models.
Yeah, and you're like, me and Molly don't even have eight pictures of ourselves.
Not recent ones.
You guys live off the grid.
No.
These are my parents' children.
Oh, some of those look really creepy.
Yeah,
Oh my God.
These ones actually look quite ugly.
Got a caller here.
I hope it's about AI babies.
Yeah, let's see here.
Hey, what's going on? that you're talking about. So if you could, you know, bring in some more visuals, that would be great.
Bring in some visuals to the radio medium. That'd be great, Bex. Yeah. You're also on air right now. Where are you?
I'm getting some coffee.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Bex, what's your opinion on AI babies? You love them?
Well, yeah, I agree with Nate that it's a little creepy. I feel like I've done it for some reason. On like PixArt or whatever, like those apps.
Yeah, it's been around. Like, the whole, like, face smash
thing. I think it's just, they're just getting better at it.
Yeah.
Like, I think they. AI's just getting better at it.
I feel like the bigger, like, connection here is, like, Gattaca.
Yes. One of my favorite movies of all time, if not my favorite.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What movie?
Oh, Gattaca?
I'm unfamiliar.
Uh-oh.
It's, like, genetically modifying, like, genes. Whatever. You guys take it from here. I'm going to get my coffee and I'm going to listen and then I'm going to be there.
All right.
Bye,
Bex. See you soon.
What does that have to do with AI babies?
Well, I think the AI babies part of it is like, these are idealized versions of whatever you're... Like, AI only knows to give you like a baby without like a birth defect or something.
Oh,
or like,
I see.
You know, those babies in that picture have like a lazy eye or something, you know, or like,
yeah.
Like that's, it
I
is
that,
like
yeah.
a, if you took these two people and there's an idealized version of the two of them, now you have it. Gattaca, which I would say, honestly, you were drawing breath to make your next point. I'm just going to do one more endorsement.
You're right. I was listening to speak, for one not of the, just listening.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, literally, I would say a movie that's just like excellent.
I've definitely heard of it.
It's
I've
flown
heard
under the radar,
it.
And it's like the people. It's like a lot of people's favorite movie, like the deep cut favorite movie. You know, I would say.
Yeah, I like definitely like knew somebody who was like really obsessed with it.
Not like an action movie or anything like that. It's just a really good sci-fi movie about what happens when we can really just sort of dial in whatever we want about like people.
Yeah.
And you can change whatever, like, you know, you can genetically modify babies. Like, then what, what is there, you know, what is ideal and why is that being upholded? And is that good? You know?
Well, yeah. And just messing with the laws of nature. It's pretty wild. I mean, even now worked in that mouse lab, you know,
ooh, the mouse lab, RIP to the mouses.
Yeah, I think about them every day. I literally do. I have a tattoo dedicated to those mice that I accidentally
those
killed.
Mouse.
Those mouses that I accidentally killed. And I
accidentally. They were all gonna die. They were lab mice. Let's get the context here. Worked in a lab.
These were lab mice. They were mouse models of CDKL5 deficiency disorder.
There it is.
CDD. It's basically a different form of Rett syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a lot of information about it, feel free to call in.
Yeah, 855-915-9636.
But I specifically worked on measuring visual acuity and mouse models of CDKL5 deficiency disorder. And sometimes I would give the mice a little bit too much of the cocktail that I was supposed to give them to put them to sleep.
Yeah.
And no thing can thrive under too much anesthesia.
Certainly not. Heart stops.
So I accidentally killed only two. Mm-hmm. I purposefully killed a few more.
Yeah.
Because we only needed male ones.
Yep.
So the females got killed.
Yep.
That was like really against... I cried a lot.
No, I without a doubt. It's insanely sad.
But, what I was going to say about the AI babies.
Great.
Is I would say, as somebody who doesn't know if they can or will have children, it is just a fun thing. You know, this isn't necessarily
my
doctor.
Yeah,
I'm not going to my doctor being like, this is what I want.
If this doesn't come out of me, then we have a problem.
Would
you just break your phone?
No, it's just Bex. I was just reading Bex's text.
Okay. All right.
Bex is confused by the fact that I killed mice.
We'll when they come in, we'll get back
on that.
I
actually can't
topic.
Talk about it
Okay,
anymore.
We'll stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AI babies thing is interesting. I find it really funny because in your family in particular, there are like very specific. Like I was at Nev's house on Sunday night. Little combining of the families.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's impossible to tell if it's your mom or Stephanie, or if it's Stephanie or Emily from another room.
Really? You
if
think?
I was there was a few
like
times
talking. Oh yeah, totally.
There was very much like a. It was like I was like that's Stephanie.
And my mom sounds just like my grandma.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, so they all three of them sound very similar.
But there's I find it really interesting because in my family I think that we all look really dissimilar.
I think you look like your sister.
Really?
Yeah.
My blonde-haired, blue-eyed sister.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, mostly it's just that your eyebrows are so distinct.
Thick eyebrows.
Because they, your sister like also has the and the shape.
Yeah.
Lily has the same Lily's eyebrows.
Lily and I are starting to look really similar these days.
But like that's the thing is actually Lily doesn't look that similar to you. It's really just in the eyes.
Eyebrows, and I think she's gonna get the nose. I think the nose is gonna start growing out. I think
she's so
got,
cute.
Yeah, she's well.
Her little smirk that she gives when you look over at her, she's the cutest.
Oh yeah. Spending putting a lot of time in on the baby front lately. And yeah, no, they're both like kids and they're both got this like fort couch. Do you hear about this?
Oh I've
You see it?
I've
you,
played with it.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
They're building these giant ramps now down the side of the couch.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
They're like throwing stuff down there and they're rolling down it. Yeah. It is like, it's crazy how
Top
much
notch.
Fun it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Let's, we should go to some music.
We'll take a break here and we'll come back.
This was good. This
come
was
back.
Good.
All right. No, it was. It was. I agree with you.
All right.
I was like, yeah, no. What? Yeah, okay. I agree with you. Yeah, it's fine. Is this hey, we got Bex in the studio.
Hello?
Wait. What? Okay.
Meow, meow, meow.
There it
meow.
Is. Okay. All right. Hey, you just enjoyed. I'll do a little vamping right now while you get yourself set. I don't know. You know, vamping? It's like when you talk just to talk.
Oh, okay.
It's like a. I think podcasts have been very popular, especially the kind that are like research based. You ever listen to this podcast where they're like, "Hey, we have like 4 points we need to make, but we gotta make sure we like get some of these right," you know? And they're like, "Hey, talk for a second while I look up like who led the league in goals in the NHL in like 1963."
I can't hear you.
You can't?
Nope.
What about this? How are we doing now?
That's better.
Okay, great. Okay, so the two things. First off, we're going to nix the conversation about mice.
Why?
It's hard for Nev to talk about.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was wondering, there...
There it is. We're seeing the tattoo of the mouse.
So that's the segue that I was missing. Like, I feel like you were talking about something and then immediately it was like, I killed 4 mice and I was like, really, yeah. Like, I had whiplash.
I mean, yeah. That's the only way that I talk about it. You'll never get the full story.
You pepper it into regular conversations.
and then when people inquire, I say it's too hard for me to talk about.
That's right. That's right.
Don't ask me about
Sorry.
It.
Don't bring it up, even though you
even though you brought it up. Yeah. That happens a lot. Sometimes I will bring up things, and then when people inquire about them, I'm like, ugh, don't ask me about that.
There's a loose thread from the AI babies discussion that we have to talk about. And maybe I was ordering my coffee during this time, so maybe I missed it. But the question is, if you had the money, would you Gattaca your babies?
Would
you?
0%.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Okay,
would you?
So it's not even a question.
No.
Like, what if you get rid of, like, your, like, inherited, like, illnesses?
I don't really feel like messing with nature in that way. I don't think that's something humans should do.
It's like, I mean, it's like, if like you're talking about like genetic illnesses that are like coming down the pipe.
The
it's tough, man. I mean, I think you're opening up a real tough, I'm not like, this isn't like from some philosophical place, but like, I mean, I can share the personal experience of like having children. The scaredest you ever are like, are they gonna be okay?
Yeah.
You know, like we had a situation where like, you know, you go through all these like like when somebody's pregnant, you go through it. Like there's a million check-ins and you're doing this. It's almost like every week, you know, as you get closer to like having the baby. And you just go in. And I remember the first time around, I didn't really know anything. And it's like, this is fine. And this is great. And then you're like, and then Molly's first pregnancy was like really like non-eventful, you know? And then the second time around, I just thought that that's like how it was. And they were like, no, here's a couple of things we need to monitor that could have like potentially like, really serious consequences. And they turned out to be nothing. But it scared me to death. Like, I would say some of the darkest places I was at that time was just like fearful and like praying a lot and being like, I just pray that this kid is like okay. And it put me in a weird spot too, because I was like, would I love it the same if it had like a disability? You know, like, would I love this kid the same if she like was born with some sort of disability or something like that? And that was like a really weird thing to start admitting to myself of like, what is normalcy and what is like, what am I doing having a kid if I like demand something of it, you know, like demand perfection of it or demand, you know, it's only the only things that are like changeable to it are things that are in my control, you know, that kind of stuff. That puts you in a really weird spot because it does, you know, you are like, oh, what's super important to me? That kind of stuff.
I just think if I had a genetic condition that was enough to either like end life early or just be really detrimental to quality of life, I think I would just choose to not have children. I think that would just be my choice rather than decide to change who they are genetically. I think it would just be, okay, great, well, this is my time to adopt a child. If that's what I'm looking for, is if what my priority is, I want a child without
like
disabilities.
To love and to bring up.
Right, but even if I'm saying I would like to not manage that, then I guess the best choice then is to
the
adopt.
The only way to control that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Because from there, there's no way to control it, and we shouldn't.
Yeah. It's like, the reason why I love that movie is, like, what happens to society when you, like, choose certain attributes,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes the worthiness of self,
yeah.
Yeah.
as compared to others is like so starkly hierarchical,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
like systematically.
But then you're also reducing genetic diversity. You can be reducing genetic diversity, which mm-hmm. just can be really dangerous to the human race in general. Like if we reduce genetic diversity, then another, you know, virus, illness, whatever, even mm-hmm. with all of the advancements in medicine, it could wipe us all out if, mm-hmm. if we do not have enough genetic diversity in our population.
Yeah.
It's hard. Because you do what you can to have a healthy kid and all this kind of stuff. Like you do what you can. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that you're looking out for and stuff. And there's certainly, unfortunately, a lot of unviable, mm-hmm. you know, pregnancies and stuff like that. It's tough. But there is also I agree with the sort of genetic diversity thing, but I also just think that, like, what is a disability? That was the big
yeah.
thing of, like, you know, okay, you know, something happens and the, you know, you have a deformed foot, right? Is that different than, you know, me, like, walking this world with, like, this crippling sense of, like, fear of everybody else? You know, like, that's, mm-hmm. like, what is, and I think that just makes you less sympathetic to these kind of things
yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like, well, there's so many perfect people out there that it's like, we're creating a society that is intolerant
yeah,
of
yeah.
what, who's different, and that's tough.
That's
exactly
that's definitely true, yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, no, I learned a lot about myself and a lot about, like, I think my view on folks, and that's like even growing up with, like, I have an uncle with Down syndrome, and like that, like growing up, it's like, okay, Uncle Jim is like a fact of our lives and stuff like that. But it was really when I started having, like, when Lily had some complications, it was like, what do I see? Is it just pity? Is that my posture towards the disabled? And like, is that good? Like pity and guilt? Versus like actual love and understanding and inclusion, you know,
yeah.
Diagnosing those two things, you know.
Yeah. Wow,
serious conversation. That was beautiful. Thank you for entertaining that question.
Hey,
thank you for asking.
I learned
good,
more about
good thread.
Both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Poems while we sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. this is another conversation. We'll bring Nev into this conversation.
Okay. So, do you ever, while you're like laying down and drifting off to sleep, are there ever like phrases that just like come up and you're like, I can't forget this, and you have to write them down?
Not while I'm sleeping, no. Not while
no,
I'm
like,
about to go
you're
to sleep.
Still awake.
No.
But you're drifting off to sleep.
It's like the screen's blank? Like, what's going on here? Like,
no,
you're
it's just off.
Really?
Wow. Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
That's really
weird. Like,
rare.
the light, you can turn the lights out in your brain.
Yeah. I think I grew up with a very healthy relationship with sleep.
Wow.
And particularly screens.
Good on you.
And so, like, usually I just, like, leave my phone in a different part of the room, and I lie down in bed. I cross my arms like this, like I'm in a coffin.
Nice.
And I turn it off.
So. And you're not sitting there being like, did I turn my car off?
Yeah,
like
turn the burners off.
Yeah. Remember that one thing that one person said that one time? You know, like that,
yeah.
that? That doesn't
yeah.
happen to you?
That actually doesn't.
Hey, good stuff. All
yeah.
right, then this is a conversation for us. All right, great. So you can go outside, have a smoke. That's fine. And then we'll stay in here.
No, just kidding. Please stay.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't going to leave.
No! I was just being polite.
I wasn't going to leave.
But I do have lots of poetry that I write during the day and not at night, so.
When my brain's fully engaged and it's actually good. That's
well, it's actually good. Elaborate on that.
I said, okay, I have a thing. I've been reading this book by Denise Levertov about the poet in the world, and it's sort of like why I write poems, you know? And a big piece to what she makes an argument for is that, like, a poem is a really good way to eliminate the audience. You know, you are the audience, right? So you write to yourself. Like, that's, you are uncovering, like, a poem is uncovering a truth to yourself. And that the more you think about the audience, the more you're sort of distracting yourself from what is for you. Because you're, you know, it's like, oh, if Nev reads this, she might think this or whatever. And it's not like a judgmental thing. It's just like you're always thinking. And especially too, we're trained to have the audience in mind.
Yeah.
Like in any work that we do, even in art, right? And the argument that she makes is she's like, actually, like the revelation of pure truth happens when you can kind of eliminate the audience and that you become writer and reader.
That's beautiful.
And that pertains to sort of like these dream poems, these half quasi dream poems.
It's like, that's like only to me. Like, yeah. I'm the only one who can hear that.
So that was like when my response, you were like, do you ever do this? And I was like, all the time. Uh-huh. And I read them back and I'm like, what is going on here? But it's like, you know, there's some real truth here because like I'm wholly unconcerned with the reader of this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. You just write. It's like writing down your dreams.
Yeah. Huh. Because it's the thing, is you eliminate, it's like the only person who is ever going to read this is maybe me later. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes that's too much of an audience, you know, but in the quasi state.
What about the people that go through your things after you die? Are you okay with them reading?
I mean, good effing luck trying to piece together my life, okay? Because there's a lot of like, I think in my family, once again, shout out to my family, who I love.
Can
all right,
I
don't know,
your
you know.
After you die?
Is this like we need to put this codify this in the will?
Yeah.
Is this
I think
like,
actually saying it on the radio is the same thing.
That's great.
I think this is legally binding.
I think if it's
Colin, if you're a lawyer.
Like honestly, if it's me and I'm gone and you know like Molly's gone, you know, and if it's just like Jenny and Lily, I think that you're allowed to be like their chaperone through that process. If you want to do that, I can commit to that.
All
you
right.
know, that's okay. That's
and that didn't give me permission to go through your things, though.
It
you
gave you
gave
permission to be around when my kids do that. Like when my kids are there doing that, you can
going
help them.
Your poems. Oh, I'll read them the poems.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'll be like, honey, your daddy was really depressed.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, too, is that's like the good luck part of it is like I feel like that piece. I don't know. It's like, does your stuff really line up with who you are? You know, and like you find some things, but then there's other things that are just like, hey, I wrote this and I kind of hid it. And what it means is it's just like the stuff that's hidden away in my life is disproportionately sad versus like the stuff that's sort of out in the world is a little bit disproportionately happy, you know?
Yeah, but even sometimes I read back on things and I really do be like, man, that was dramatic though.
Yeah, well.
Yeah,
like,
but
I don't
that's
always
okay.
read back.
Yeah,
I mean, drama isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
In, like, the parking lot of the movie theater. It's great.
Wait,
that's where the drama goes down. That's when everyone's wearing leather jackets and it's and you're in the parking lot of the movie theater. That's the drama.
Yeah.
Do you understand this?
Just pretend.
Okay.
If you whisper.
If I whisper, you can't hear me.
Eyes blank, nodding up.
Yeah, that's my whole day.
Sorry, so drama's not bad.
Drama's not bad. Like, a little bit of drama, it's okay to be dramatic, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
That's my stance.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. As a person who would consider
drama
themselves
for the
dramatic.
Sake of drama, I mean, it can be an art form, it can be theater. But within, like, interpersonal relationships, I don't like.
Yeah. Me, I don't like. Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think this is very controversial.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did you want to read us your poem? Or was this like just
no,
it's just for you?
I was trying to remember like what because the things that come up seem random, but they're actually like very connected.
Oh yeah, we gotta do one of this.
They're very connected to what I'm feeling in the moment and what I'm processing.
Yeah.
Just like the words and the energy are just like, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm
Oh, those were crazy eyes. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. No, I was looking over here.
I don't think I can say it.
Oh, okay. Bleep.
What do we deleted the crazy
was,
eyes?
Yeah, that was me rewinding. I don't know.
All right, someone has to read a PSA. That's what I have lost. I was doing some radio stuff, and we've lost it. All right.
Okay, I want to shout out Tufts University Art Gallery.
Great.
Pictured is Andy Warhol, Kimiko Powers, 1972, oil on canvas, 60x60, gift of David and Barbara Slater. You can't see it, but it's purple. The Tufts University Art Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new global perspectives on art and art discourse. All exhibitions and related programming are free, open to the public, and fully accessible. Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Adigman Art Center at 40 Talbot Avenue in Somerville, Medford, campus of Tufts University. For current exhibitions and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. Additionally, they have a really cool exhibition coming up, Slavery, Colonialism, and Their Legacies at Tufts. And there's a lot of really cool archival research about Tufts history that is being uncovered, so please check that out. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Ooh, love that.
That also plays into our what's happening in Medford bit. So that's what's happening in Medford.
That's what's happening in Medford. Yep. Also, quick on that bit, I was walking down the street. A lot of cars parked in sidewalks these days. I don't know if you've seen this.
A lot of cars parked wherever they want to be.
That's exactly right. There was a car blocking the entrance to my daughter's school today. And I'm rolling up, and I'm like, don't park there. And he's like, oh, come on. And I'm like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
He's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, I got to get in there, you know?
No, literally, same thing happened to me this morning, dropping off my niece. Parked right in front of the parking lot. Like, what makes you think that's okay? Sorry.
Exactly. No, 100%.
I got a parking ticket.
Oh, geez, nice.
I did. I got it.
You blocking an entrance to a daycare?
No, I was in my driveway. Okay, if you're the person who gave me that ticket, I don't blame you personally, if you're listening, but please know that I am upsetting. I am upset about it. I pay my parking permit. This is a Tufts thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
I pay my parking permit every month. It's $70.
Ugh.
And it's like 1 hour after it expires, I get a ticket.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
That's whack.
Jeez. Yeah.
Whack.
No.
Thumbs down.
I was
aggressive thumbs down.
Aggressive thumbs down. The park, they're out there to get you. I grew up in a very paranoid parking family, and that has translated to me.
And my mom, and I keep getting tickets because my mom said, never pay for parking. And I was like,
yeah.
I love that. That's my dad too.
Actually, yeah, my parents are like that too, where we'll circle the block for hours, you know, instead of going into the garage.
She'll park in a paid parking spot.
Yeah,
and
that's
she'll
like
say,
my dad, yeah.
Nah, F that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, don't do it.
This doesn't apply to me. It says you have to pay, but I'm not going to.
Despite them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I got
Which
in the
is just
habit
funny
of doing
like,
that. And then now I get $30 tickets,
you
know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. I was walking down the street, and there was a policeman walking down the street, and I go, hey, what the heck is going on here? Like, can you do this? I, like, literally pointed to just, like, a truck that had blocked, like, jumped the curb and blocked the sidewalk.
Get the police involved.
And I was like, what's going on here? And he's like, actually, yeah, you can't do that. And I was like, well... Great.
Did you push the truck out of the way?
He goes, we actually
just lifted up.
Yeah, I did. I threw it into the street. And then I was like, and he was like, if you ever see something like this, you can just like call the city, like the traffic people.
Oh, for sure, do that.
And like
do
that. And I was like, great, thanks for deputizing me to sort of like do, like to just be the police of the heights, you know, and to do that.
And that is what's happening in Medford.
Become an arm of the police.
Exactly, yeah. That's
Smokey
right.
Smokey the Bear.
All right, any final things here? We're going to sign off here.
Just.
I love you.
Love you all.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Be safe in your travels.
Be thankful.
Have a loving and accompanied day of mourning and... what's it called? Like, Buy Nothing Day?
Buy Nothing on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Be safe.